Good evening. This is Bobby Stafford with the Granby Church of Christ coming to you this Sunday afternoon. We'll be looking at another lesson from Plain Bible Teaching. This time looking at a passage from Jeremiah about asking for the ancient paths. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking there at Jeremiah chapter 6 in just a moment. All right, well, let's get started. I'm going to begin by reading Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, which is a fairly familiar verse from the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Of course, Jeremiah was an inspired prophet that lived there during the days of Judah, at the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. He had received a warning from God, Jeremiah did, that he was to deliver to the people of Judah. And that was Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. You know, that this was the time in which he was living and he was going to witness it. The reason it was going to be destroyed was because God was going to punish Judah, God's people at that time, for their sin. And their sin was that they had departed from the Lord, departed from his teaching, from his instruction, from his word. And so Jeremiah, there in that verse we read, this was like the final call for them to return to God before the destruction happened, but they refused. The Bible over and over again in the Old and the New Testament teach that it's very possible for God's people to fall away. And even today, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have Timothy telling us in verse 1 of 1 Timothy, or Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1, now the Spirit expressly or explicitly says, that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So some will depart from the faith. Well, you have to be in the faith, if you will, and have the faith and know the faith to depart from it. So it is definitely possible for God's people to fall away. Well, how does this happen? And if it does happen, how can people return to these ancient paths that he was talking about? So let's look at the example of Jerusalem and God's people there and see what we can learn from them, because we can see that we can, in the same way, allow ourselves to be carried away by sin and to depart from the faith. So let's see what happens to them. Still in Jeremiah 6, we're going to go back to verse 10, and we'll see the first thing is that they closed their mind, they closed their ears to God's word and wouldn't listen. So this is Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Have no delight in it. Their ears are, we might say, they're plugged up. They're not willing to listen to the warning. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Well, no one wanted to hear. They were tuning God out. You know, Jesus on more than one occasion says, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Those people who are willing to listen, they need to listen. And of course, back at that time, and in our time too, very much so, too many people don't want to listen. And, you know, we read, we're going to go this time to 2 Timothy, and we read something there in 2 Timothy, went too far, chapter 4, and verse 3, this is, of course, the inspired Apostle Paul saying what's going to happen. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, and I think that's the key word there, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul was saying the time will come, not might come or possibly come, but will come, when people will not want to listen to healthy, that's what whole there is, the idea of healthy and good and wholesome teaching and doctrine. But instead, they're going to want to follow their own desires, what they want to hear. It says their ears are itching. They're wanting to hear certain things and have their ears scratched, so to speak. So they listen to a message of their own desires, of their own choosing, because they don't have any delight in God's word. If we're not willing to listen to God's word, we can't be saved, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the word of God. So we know we can't be saved without faith. So if we turn away from hearing God's word, that means we can have a saving faith, which means we won't be saved. So the people back in Jeremiah's time and the people today are just alike. They close their ears to God's word. Well, going on further in Jeremiah 6, we go down to verse 13 that says, because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For the least of them, even to the greatest. So the prophets, the priests, they were what? They were greedy. They were coveting. They were wanting what others had. And Micah, in Micah chapter 3, verse 11, kind of describes the thinking that goes along with this. Micah says, her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe, her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. They were doing it for all the wrong reasons. They were doing it because they were greedy and lusting, and they were, they wanted what was not theirs. So how can, religious leaders and teachers, and we see this today, just exactly like in times past, how can religious leaders today become wealthy? Well, by delivering messages that people want to hear. Those people that have itching ears, they're wanting a certain type of message. And so religious leaders that are greedy, that are only in it for monetary gain, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to deliver messages that please people, just like we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's what they're going to do. A message that people want to hear, because they're not delighting in God's word, so they want to delight in man's word, something that makes them feel good. Too many people, when they encounter a difficult verse or a difficult text or statement in the word of God, abandon it. But that happened in Jesus' time. Let's go to John chapter 6, and you'll see what I'm talking about. John chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 60. Verse 60 says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? This is a difficult statement. And it wasn't that they couldn't understand it as such. They just didn't want to hear it, because notice the next verse, verse 61, when Jesus knew it himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? And that's the way it is with people today, many that when they hear a message from God's word that is difficult, that they don't want to hear, that they don't like, what do? They abandon it. So those religious leaders and teachers and so forth, whether they're on TV or radio or internet or whatever, if they want to get a following and bring in a lot of money, then what will they do? They will ignore and forget those difficult verses and text and just give people what they want. Give them what they want to hear. And notice what happened with Jesus there in John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. See, Jesus wasn't going to change his message just to please people. So therefore, when he delivered these difficult messages, people didn't like it. Even when it was coming from the Son of God, they didn't like it. And so they turned away and quit being his disciple. Something else that happened back in Jeremiah's time, this time the next verse, Jeremiah 6, verse 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. All right? See, these false teachers, false religious leaders, false prophets declared peace when Jeremiah knew there was not peace coming. See, Jeremiah said there was going to be this great destruction if the people didn't turn from their ways. Well, these false prophets were saying, oh, that's not true. Don't listen to him. Everything's going to be fine. See, that's what people wanted to hear. So that's what these false teachers were telling them. And there was going to be a great destruction. Well, something kind of similar happened in the first century. The church in Corinth ignored warnings and they ignored sin in their midst. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we have this. 1 Corinthians 5 and the first two verses. It's actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. That's what some of the Christians there in the church at Corinth were doing. They were ignoring sin in their midst. They knew that they should do something about it. They didn't like that statement, that warning, so they ignored it. And instead, they were puffed up. Well, Paul would later say, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5, your glorying is not good. Do you not know the little leaven leavens the whole lump? And of course, they knew that. They just didn't want to do anything about it. Or hadn't, but apparently from reading 2 Corinthians, they finally did do something about it. Well, one more time back in Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. These people had lost their sense of shame. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? And people today have certainly lost their sense of shame. That doesn't take much to see that in our world. Paul, when he wrote the first letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, talked about people who were seared in their own conscience. It had become to the point where their conscience was, they could do whatever they wanted and it didn't bother them. So when a person doesn't feel guilt for their sin, there isn't any encouragement or motivation to repent. So what are these ancient paths that Jeremiah told them they needed to follow? Well, we know what it was for them. You know, it was the law of Moses, what we today call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. But what is it for us today? Well, of course, it's not the Old Testament for us, because Jeremiah would later say in Jeremiah 31 that covenant, that testament that they were living under, would one day be done away with. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he would go on and talk more about this new covenant. And of course, that covenant, it was going to be new because it was going to replace the old. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2, verse 14. And that law went away and was no longer the law for people to live with when Jesus died on the cross. Some other things that the ancient paths for us is not. It's not just things done in the past. Just because people did something in the past doesn't mean that it was right. You know, Paul said that he persecuted the church with a good conscience. So what he did was wrong. So just because it's done in the past doesn't mean it's right. And just because our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents or aunt and uncles did it, that doesn't mean it's right either. Jesus knew that his teachings would divide families. He said that was going to happen. He likened his teaching to a sword that would divide families. So, you know, if our parents didn't follow Christ, then we certainly don't want to follow our parents. So how do we return? How do we return, you know, like Jeremiah talks there in Jeremiah 6, where he talks about, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. So how do we do that? Well, we need to open our ears. You know, that was one of the problems those people had. They weren't willing to listen. Like Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be like those Bereans that we read about in the book of Acts, in Acts 17. They examined the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. See, that's having open ears. That's what they had. They were willing to listen. They wanted to know what the truth really was. And so they were checking those things that were taught by Paul. They wanted to know, you know, what the scripture said to see if Paul's teaching matched what the scripture said. Jesus, toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, tells us something else about returning to the old paths. It says in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus is saying, reject the popular way. The majority, religiously speaking, is always wrong. That's what Jesus very clearly states. The majority is wrong. The broad way, he says, leads to death. It leads to destruction, leads to everlasting destruction. So we don't want to follow what's popular, what the majority does. We want to follow what's right, and that's going to be on that narrow, close path. We need to, if we're going to return to those old paths, ancient paths, we need to recognize sin for what it is. Sin is lawlessness, John said in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 3. And we know that the wages of that brings death. So sin is something to take seriously. And we certainly need to mourn over our sin. You know, when someone realizes how horrible sin is, how terrible sin is, then they should very naturally mourn over it because of how bad it is. And that will cause one to return to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, this is what the Apostle Paul says about that very thing. He says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So that's what we need to do. We need to have sorrow over our sin, and then that will be the motivation to repent and turn to God. So sin is not something to celebrate or tolerate. It's something to be rejected. Of course, we know what happened to the people of Jerusalem. They had a choice there that Jeremiah was telling them in Jeremiah chapter 6. You can either continue rejecting God and not listening to God, or you can return to the ancient past. But, of course, we know the end of the story. They made the wrong decision. They made the wrong choice. Well, we don't want to be like them. We want to follow the ancient past, which means we want to follow what God has revealed to us that he wants us to do. We want to be found a good servant. We want to be found a faithful disciple because we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well, thank you for listening this late Sunday afternoon. And if the Lord wills, we'll be back here next Sunday afternoon.